Revelation chapter 8. At the beginning of the book of Revelation, I asked you to please pay attention to the true reason for the study of the book of Revelation. It's about to know the Jesus Christ and His awesomeness, righteousness, and holiness. It's not about just chasing after future knowledge. If you're looking for that kind of thing, you should go to the, you know, psychic 1-900, that kind of thing. You just have to pay a lot of money for nothing, but that's what your idea is. This is not about fortune telling. This is about knowing Jesus Christ, His awesomeness, His throne, and His authority over all the universe. However, I couldn't help myself but wondering, those who choose not to follow Jesus Christ as a Savior and Lord, and those people will remain behind during the time of great tribulation. And I couldn't help myself but wondering about what they're going to do during that tribulation time. As we study in the book of chapter 6, by the time there's a fourth seal broken, there are 1.6 billion people will be killed. When we hear the news that there are 160 people died, we shuddered. And we are literally shocked. And when we heard that 3,000 people got killed at the World Trade Center in 2001, 9/11, we are all shocked. Only 3,000. I'm not saying 3,000 people are small. However, think about 1.6 billion people get killed within a short time period. That's a lot of people to get lost, get killed. And these people, the remainder people, will go through the tribulation and there will be more death left and right. By the time we get to the end of tribulation time, the Bible says the people's lives are scarce on the earth. See, you have to understand, tribulation is the wrath of God against those who don't believe in Jesus Christ. Now we're in the middle of the first half of tribulation time. We find that the intensity and the scope of God's wrath is getting bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger. And we also find that there is now we finish the seals, six seals, and the seven seals introducing seven trumpet judgment. That's what we find in the first half of tribulation. From the second half of tribulation, you will find seven bowls judgment. And it gets worse. And the plague is happening. A lot of plague is similar to what happened at the time right before Moses took the Israeli people, 2 million people out of Egypt to the promised land. So keep that in mind because we're going to continue to go back and touch that area. Let's find out what this seventh seal does. And from chapter 8 of Revelation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Your word is true. All we have to do is just read and we will receive the wisdom if we ask You. You're ready to give us wisdom. So we are coming to You and asking for wisdom to understand Your word, not to seek the future knowledge, but to know Jesus Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, I forgot to mention this. I heard from Pastor Chuck Smith, the founder of Calvary Chapel, said, if you go to the Israel trip, one trip is equivalent to 1 or 2 years of time in the Bible college. So if you can come up with the money, that'll be a great experience for you guys. Okay, let's go on to verse 1 of chapter 8. When he opened the seventh seal, he means Jesus Christ, there was a silence in heaven for about half an hour. Some Bible commentators said this in the commentary, said, you know, they believe that there is no woman in heaven. The reason is that because if there's any woman, there couldn't be half an hour silence. I know it's a terrible thing for them to say that kind of thing. Let's just move on, okay? Most likely, silence is coming up from the awestruck and sober. That they knowing that Jesus Christ is opening and bringing out the more content of the scroll. And we will find the judgment is become stronger and stronger. Let's go to the verse 2. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them they are given seven trumpets. During this silence, the seven angels given the seven trumpets. To us, the seven trumpet is no big deal. What's the big deal about trumpet? But however, Apostle John, he is being a Jew. To him, this trumpet means a lot. What does it mean? It means that there's a full reason for it. Please. There we go. Number one reason is to call the people together. You find in Numbers chapter 10, verse 8. And the second one is announce the word, them to a victory by the power of God, chapter 10, verse 9. And third one, this is the one of the reasons why we are going to find. And third reason, they announced a special time, Numbers 10:10. And the fourth one is sound of trumpet signals the year of the Jubilee, which all the debts cancel and all the slaves set free. We find in two reasons here is announcing the war against the non-believers and heathen people, pagan people on the earth from God. This is God's war against them, as if they can fight against God. And at the same time, he is declaring the Jesus Christ getting on the throne. He's having a complete authority to judge the earth. Let's go to verse 3 of chapter 8. Then another angel having golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Entire book of Revelation is a mixture of the prayer and visions. Throughout this study, you'll find a lot of visions happening at the same time and a lot of prayers going up. And we find here is a golden censer filled with a prayer and the mixture with the incense. This is a prayer of the people. The prayer that caused the silence brought throughout the heaven for a half an hour, a mixture with much incense. That in the scripture, incense, you find, is symbolizing intercessory prayer. Write it down next to it, please. Incense is a scripture. In the scripture, it means that intercessory prayer. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7, 25. Hebrews is right before James in the New Testament. Hebrews 7, 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him. You're not there yet? Are you there? Yes? No? Yeah. Sounds like it. Therefore, he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make the intercession for him. Jesus Christ, who is the high priest, he is our Savior. He is the one interceding our prayer. To be honest with you, my prayer stinks. Why? Because my carnal desire sometimes gets in the way and I ask God the things that I should not ask God. Because I do not know His will all the time, I ask God that is not in His will. So Jesus Christ, who intercedes my prayer, what He's saying is to the Father, Father, this is what Juno is praying, but what he really needs is this. And He adds that thing. His intercessory prayer become incense and making my prayer sweet fragrance to him, to the Father in heaven. Because he knows our prayer, he is adding his intercessory prayer for all of us. It's not just pastor, it's not just for the deacons or anyone in particular in the church, but all of us. Those who are born-again Christian, when we pray, Jesus Christ intercedes for our prayer. Let's go to verse 4. And the smoke of the incense and with the, underline the, with the prayers of the saints, please, underline that, ascend before God from the angel's hand. verse 5. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noise and thundering and lightning and earthquake. Some of your versions said instead of fire, it says coal. The prayer saint, I asked you on the line. That doesn't mean there's a group of people in heaven interceding our prayer. They are not the, you know, achieve sainthood. Let me make it very clear to you, guys. Anyone who are born again Christian, called out by God's name, are saints. That means that you are looking at the Saint Juno. Don't I look nice? The saint is nothing anyone particular. Some people think that the saint is somebody who is interceding our prayer. And you have to achieve their level. That's not true. Nowhere in the Bible you find that kind of thing. It's not supported by the scripture. So chuck that idea. You don't need to pray to anyone, Virgin Mary or Saint Anthony or Joseph or whoever they are. You pray to the Father in heaven through the name of Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. Okay? You pray direct to Him. No one can do that other than Jesus Christ, God Himself. So if you're thinking, if you've been praying to anyone else to intercede your prayer, you've been praying to the wrong person. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, please. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Says, now to him, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to keep to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We've been praying, we've been taught to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. How many of you guys heard that phrase? A lot. Just about every one of you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 is a Lord's Prayer, known as the Lord's Prayer. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done. We are asking for His will. We are asking for His kingdom to come in this earth, on this earth. Let's make it very clear. Prayer should not be, the purpose of prayer is not the one to make our will to be done in heaven, but God's will be done on earth. We should ask for His will in our lives. We should ask for His will on this earth. Now it's about to happen. He's going to fulfill our prayer. Some time ago, you must pray something to God. Like make me more like you, Lord. Guess what? That's in to-do list in God's kingdom. In the to-do box, and He is doing it. And the rest of them will wait until that He is making you more like Jesus Christ. How does He make you more like Jesus Christ? Just make you have JC in front of your chest so you can open up your shirt and from the phone booth and fly out? That's not how He makes. He's making you to be more like Jesus through trials and tests. So if you're trying to dodge trials and tests, guess what? You're trying to dodge being more like Jesus Christ. That's the only way we get to learn, become more like Jesus, and through the Word of God. There's no other way. There's no other shortcut. A lot of people don't like it. I don't like the trials and tests. I'm a major wimp. I'm a major wuss. I don't like pain. If I can avoid that, I will do anything to avoid the pain and trial and suffering. But I learned God will not grant me to become more like Jesus Christ until I go through the trials and tests. Whether people like it or not, our prayer involves judgment. And when we ask God, His will be done, He will grant our wish, our prayer request, and He will make it happen. We are going to find the impact of the first trumpet in verse 6 in chapter 8. So the seven angels who had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded. Hail and the fire followed and mingled with the blood that, and the day were thrown to the earth. And third of the trees, underlined third of trees, were burned up, and all green grass were burned up. Underline whole phrase, please. It is important for us to keep our eyes on this particular phrase. Before we go any further, let's understand one thing very clear. Book of Revelation needs to be interpreted literally, as much as we can, literally. Why? If we start to think that the Book of Revelation is an allegorical way, then where are you going to stop? If it's nothing more than, you know, making an example, it's a story, and how do you know it's true? So we have to take this literally. Can we guess? Well, can it be the, you know, certain kinds of situation? We can guess. However, we are not going to make that thing as a doctrine. We can guess, but we are not going to etch it on the stone. We're going to interpret the scripture in the Book of Revelation as is. If it says it burns up everything and one third, that's what it means. The symbolism, if there is a symbolism, and there is a lot of symbolism, need to be interpreted with the symbolism from the other side of the Bible. We're going to do a lot of cross-referencing. So it is important for you to pay attention. When I said take a look at this particular verse, I want you to take a look at it, because otherwise you're going to guess, and most likely you're going to go the wrong way. If we interpret the Book of Revelation literally, I can pretty much guarantee you cannot go wrong. Understand? All right, verse 20 of chapter 1 in 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter is right before 1 John, right after 1 Peter. Wow, brilliant, right? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, the reason why I said that we have to interpret the Bible literally, this is what it says. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. So we cannot come up with our own interpretation unless Bible what the Bible says. All right, let's go back to the chapter 8 of the verse 6 and 7. It said, I asked you to take a look at the hail and the fire mingled with the blood. This is the seventh plague happened in Egypt against the Egyptian who didn't want to release Moses and the Hebrew people. You find it in Exodus chapter 7 through 12. Yeah, chapter 7 through 12, that's right. And also you find in this final judgment, one of the final judgments in the book of Job, chapter 2, verse 30. Some commentators say that this is nuclear detonation. Let me put it this way. I disagree. Why? Remember I asked you on the line portion that the third of trees were burned up and all grass, green grass were burned up. If it's a nuclear detonation, nuclear blowout, holocaust, it's not just the trees or the green grass will be burned up. Buildings and just about everything in it will be burned up. Why? How many of you guys heard of the island of Bikini in Pacific Ocean? Some of the older people will remember. Island Bikini, there was a nuclear testing between 1954 and 1956. Some of you guys thinking, I was not even born that day during that time. Fine. Put up with me. They had the nuclear test, above ground test. 1 megaton. 1 megaton is equivalent to 1 million tons of dynamite blowing up same time. That's a lot of explosive. 1 megaton atom bomb was tested above ground. When that happened, 250 miles per hour firestorm happened. What was the speed of the wind and for the Hurricane Ivan or the what's the Kristen? 150 miles. It devastated the state of Florida. Can you imagine 250 miles per hour firestorm? It's not just storm, it's a firestorm. That means it burns everything within the path. 250 miles per hour firestorm happens, and it shoots up all the waters around the island, straight up thousands of feet. Because the air up in the sky is cold, it becomes hail. And it comes down, straight down, destroyed all the monitoring equipment on the island. That's the nature of a 1 megaton atom bomb. Now we have a thermonuclear bomb, which makes the atom bomb look like a popsicle or little, you know, Cracker Jack box thing. It's nothing. As I said before, with the current arsenal, humankind can destroy the Earth 17 times over. And they have more arsenal left over. So I don't believe this is a nuclear holocaust. I believe this is God's supernatural judgment in destroying all the green grass, one-third of the green grass and one-third of the forest or trees. When you look at the trees in the Greek word, this tree is fruit trees. Not only that they destroy the pasture, that means cows are going to have a real cow. It's going to have an effect on milk and meat industry. So the phrase, got milk, will have a special meaning. You got milk. Many of you remember the fire at the Rodeo and Chedisky fire up in the Sholo and the White Mountains. And many of you remember the fire up in the White Mount Lemmon, right. That devastated a lot of people. A lot of people's property was lost. Are they still alive in there? And aftermath was terrible. Imagine that multiply hundreds of times over all over the world. One third of the trees burn, one third of the forest burn, one third of the pastures burn. Let's go to verse 8. The second angel sounded something like the great mountains burning on the land. Something like a great mountain, please. Burning with the fire was thrown into the city, and a sea, the third of the sea became blood. And third of the living creatures in the sea died, and third of the ships were destroyed. The question about this is, what is this something like mountain burning with a fire? You ready for the answer? I don't know. In my guess, it's either meteor or asteroid. While it's coming down through the orbit, it will start to burn itself. And when it hits, this, just think with me. When it hits the ocean, most like a shock wave will, I guess it's big enough. Somebody said if it has the size of Texas, state of Texas, it will destroy just about any city, the ocean-sized city in America, if it hit the Pacific Ocean, because the shock wave will go through and destroy all the ocean-sized cities, like Los Angeles, San Diego will be underwater. Let me put it this way. Can you put the map up, please? All right. See this? This is the Atlantic Ocean, all of this. It doesn't show the actual size. That's close to one-third of all the oceans. The oceans are covering about three-quarters of the Earth. Atlantic Ocean covers about one-third, close to one-third. Let's say big-sized meteor drops somewhere here. And all the cities along this coast will be completely destroyed because of the shock wave. There are about 40,000 merchant ships float around the world. An average 13,000 ships travels around this Atlantic Ocean. We just read, one third of the ocean will be destroyed and it will turn into blood. Sea creatures will die, and one third of a merchant ship will go down to the bottom of the sea with its cargo. Can you imagine the ecological and economical effect after this? I'm not saying it will be Atlantic Ocean. That's my guess. It can be. Or it can be Pacific Ocean or wherever. One third will be destroyed. You may say, come on, this is just natural thing happening, disaster happening. If you believe that, how are you going to explain what happened in Exodus chapter 7 through 12? You might say, you don't believe. You'll find out. If that's your attitude, you'll find out during the tribulation time. Let's go to verse 10. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from the heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell to the third of the river and on the spring of the water. And the name of the star is Wormwood. Underline Wormwood, please. A third of the water became a wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. God's next wrath reached to the spring water and the fountains and rivers. National Geographic says there are about 100 principal rivers around the world, starting with the 4,000 miles long the Amazon River. And this is one of those hard names to pronounce. Rio de la Plata, 150 miles long. Rio de la Plata. I don't know where that is. Huh? Is that in Argentina? Okay. And U.S. Geological Survey reports that there are 30 large rivers located in the United States, including Mississippi River, Mighty Mississippi River, 3,710 miles long. If one-third of the river gets contaminated and its fountain and the springs, where are the people going to get the water? It contaminated so bad that it will kill people. What about the vegetation along the side of those river? Already, one-third of vegetation has been burned out. And now, one-third, and then more vegetation will be killed because of the bitter water. Now, I should underline the word wormwood. When you look at the Greek word, I'm not going to even pronounce it because probably most likely I will embarrass myself. This wormwood means undrinkable. Undrinkable. You cannot drink water. Why? Because it's so bitter, it will most likely will kill you. But then again, because the people will die and the vegetation will die and all the tree will die, ecological situation will get worse and worse. If some of you are thinking that you will go through tribulation and it will come out, you have a very little chance to survive. Don't even try it. If you're not going to have a fellowship to keep you accountable, what makes you think you can try it? It'll be very hard. Some of you guys like to have fly fishing. There won't be a good fly fishing in a fountain or a river to do this kind of thing. All right, go to verse 12. Then fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard angels flying through the midst of the heaven, and saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet, the three angels who are about to sound. What is the first creation done by God? What is the first creation done by God? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. What is the first creation? Huh? Light. And he created light. Now he's taking the one third of the light that comes from the solar system. He's taking away. So if there, most likely there's a 12 hours daytime, 12 hours of evening time. And even that, the 12 hours will not have a complete 12 hours. What does it mean? Think with me, please. If sun will not be shining and the moon will not be there and the star will be gone, nowadays you don't need the stars to find your way around because you have a GPS system. However, there will be a lot of satellites will gone down the drain. So you may not use a GPS system at the time. And all of a sudden, one third of stars dark and you cannot see them. And moon is the one that controlling the tide. So tide will be all out of whack. To make the matter worse, sun will not shine. That means Arizona, Tucson, and Florida will go, temperature will go down somewhere around 40 degrees. I know some of you ladies will like that idea. And some of you guys like that idea. But you don't want to stay behind for just for that low temperature. Now, think with me again. If the temperature drops down here that low, can you imagine what happened in Montana, or Canada, or Alaska? Everything will turn into popsicle. It's possible that this particular judgment is temporary. As a matter of fact, it is temporary. It darkens for a while, and then we find in fourth bowl judgment in second half of tribulation, sun's temperature will become intensified, and it will drop down again right before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Nature will suffer, and a lot of people will die because of the vegetation will be dead, and ecological and economical death and damage. And there will be tremendous damage in human nature too. We just read that there will be more to come. What he's saying, an angel said, oh, by the way, this angel, some of the translation says eagle. That is correct translation because some of the manuscript, majority of the manuscript says eagle more than angels. Either way, either angel or the eagles, if that thing is flying around the earth, in the sky, and say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa to you," then it will get attention to anyone, from anyone. He said, "Worst is yet to come." Some of you guys thinking that, well, this is how do you believe this is the real? As I said before, if you want to take a chance, that's up to you. But I do not recommend because you may not survive through all 7 years. And most likely, if you don't believe what I said now from the Word of God, most likely you will receive the mark of beast. If you receive that, you labeling yourself as enemy of God. And you will face eternal death in hell. You want to take a chance? Be my guest. Let's make an application. Number one, there's only one application. The purpose of the prayer is not to get man's will be done in heaven, but to get God's will be done on earth. It's not our will in heaven, but God's will on earth. Hudson Taylor, inland China missionary of the late yesteryear, said this. This is so good. God reserves His best to those who leave the choice to Him. Did you get that? Let me read it one more time. God reserves His best to those who leave choices to Him. Don't demand Him what needs to be done because the Father knows best. And you cannot make anything better than that. Don't demand Him, but ask God's will be done. Let's stand up and pray.